Hobbs. I'm Deputy Secretary of State. I'm convening the public hearing. It concerns additional voting system testing under House Bill 1155. For the record, since we are recording this and it's also being broadcast over the Internet, the date is February 21st and the time is 1:07 p.m. And we're meeting in the Secretary of State's Aspen Conference Room, 1700 Broadway, Denver, Colorado. There are sign-up sheets on the table by one of the doors. If anybody wishes to testify, please make sure that you have signed up. There's also copies of the agenda, and I hope everybody got a copy of that. Let me make some introductions. To my immediate left is Melody Mirbaba of the AG's office. To her left, Stephanie Sigelski from the Secretary of State's office, and then Secretary Kaufman to the far left. And to my right are members of the Secretary of State's testing board, and I'll ask them to introduce themselves one by one. If I could start at the end, please.
Jerome Lovato.
Michael Chadwell.
I'm John Gardner.
Tim Bishop.
Danny Casillas.
Thank you. I haven't seen the sign-up sheets yet. I see lots of people here. I want to make sure we get everybody worked in to the comments that they want to make. We have 4 hours, and we can run a little over if we need to, but I'll look at the sign-up sheets and sort of try to manage the time as effectively as possible. There are public restrooms on this floor, around the corner here. We'll probably take a break after the first couple of agenda items. I think I'd like to start by giving a little background about the process. I know sometimes there's some confusion about, there's so many things going on relating to voting system certification. And so for some of you, this may be boring, but I would like to at least go over it. And hopefully that'll help promote the discussion more efficiently and we'll all be on the same page. As you know, the Secretary of State was required to retest voting systems by court order. The process was completed December 17th, and the Secretary decertified some voting systems. Now, as you'll also recall, the process took a long time, that one of the challenges was getting all the information needed to complete the process. And on August 29th, the Secretary actually had to set a deadline for the vendors to finish supplying all of the information needed to complete the process. And the Secretary set a deadline of November 16th to get all information necessary to complete the process. And in fact, not all of the information really was received, but nevertheless, that was the cutoff. And so based on the information received by November 16th, the testing board completed its analysis, made recommendations to the Secretary. We also provided copies of the documentation to outside auditors who reviewed the work of the testing board, and then on December 17th, the Secretary issued his decision. At that point, the Secretary directed the testing board to continue additional testing. Now, that was without benefit of what later became House Bill 1155. But the Secretary anticipated that there might be some legal authority enacted by the General Assembly, because there had been discussions with legislators and an advisory group of county clerks to try to provide some additional authority to continue the testing process. So the testing board really has focused its activities since December 17th on trying to do whatever additional testing might be relevant to the original decertification decisions. Under prior law, prior to House Bill 1155, there were basically two processes for folks to follow who were dissatisfied with the decision of the Secretary of State. One of those was a request for reconsideration that's provided under Section 1-5-621, subsection 6. And that allows a vendor or a county clerk to request reconsideration of a decertification decision. Sometimes we've referred to that as the formal process. And again, that's limited to decertification decisions. The other process, which we've sometimes called the informal process, is under the next subsection of that same statute, section 1-5-621, subsection 7, which authorizes the secretary to amend or rescind orders generally relating to voting system certification. And that, what we have communicated to folks was that that process could be used to consider the conditions that were attached to decisions to recertify equipment. And I think everyone knows there were, although not every voting system was decertified, even the recertified systems were recertified with a substantial amount of conditions. And in fact, conditions that some clerks felt that really amounted to decertification. So those were the two basic processes that were in the law prior to House Bill 1155 to deal with anyone who was dissatisfied with the decision. Again, the formal request for reconsideration process, or a more informal process to deal with the conditions. But again, in anticipation that there may be legislation that would authorize and bless additional testing, that's what we have mostly worked on since December 17th. And I'd like to kind of summarize what 1155 does then, because that is what we're here for today, is to try to complete the process under House Bill 1155. And this, I view this as a third process then. We've got the request for reconsideration process, an informal process for conditions, and then the process under 1155. And the bill says that the secretary is authorized to perform additional testing and communications in order to continue the retesting process. The bill says that if the secretary is to amend or rescind a decertification order, then he has to demonstrate or determine that the major deficiencies that were identified in the December 17th order have been addressed. And I should have mentioned that this is a critical point. The December 17th decisions of the secretary, where there was a decertification, identified one or two major deficiencies for each voting system. And so the legislation says if that decertification decision is to be changed, then there needs to be some indication from the additional testing that the major deficiencies have been addressed. I think it says resolved or mitigated. And so that's been kind of the focus of the testing board, is to look at those, especially focus on those major deficiencies, and through additional testing or additional information, see if there's any way to address those. And so the testing board last Friday completed and posted on our website reports that on each of the decertified systems on the additional testing, and basically how the additional testing may have addressed the major deficiencies. The bill says that this House Bill 1155 process needs to be completed within 30 days, and that's the 30th day is March 12th. So the legislature intends that we complete this process within the 30 days. This is an expedited process, and that's why the secretary has focused our resources on completing this process. And that's what today's hearing is about, but I kind of want to move on and talk about what will happen after today to put everything in context. If the secretary does not recertify a system, if a system remains decertified, then the formal process is still there in place, the request for reconsideration process. I think we've said from the beginning, we will not hold a public hearing on a request for reconsideration until all of the documentation, all of the testing documentation has been completed or completely available to the public. The testing board did post on our website in December the overview documents, to an overview of the testing process, But the total amount of documentation for the four systems is about 120,000 pages and about 3,200 hours of video, I think. And by law, the proprietary information in that documentation has to be redacted. By proprietary, I mean things like commercial secrets of vendors. We're required to keep that private. So we have been working on redacting that information, but with 120,000 pages, it's still going to take a while. I think we are still a couple of months away from having that redacted. We will not hold, if something remains decertified after today, we will not hold public hearings until that process is complete, because it would be unfair to the public to be expected to come to a public hearing and talk about a decertification order without having seen the backup documentation, not just the summary documentation, which alone is a couple hundred pages, I think, in some cases, but the full 120,000 pages. On the other hand, if the system is recertified under House Bill 1155, so it's actually a little unclear to me whether we still hold requests for reconsideration hearings, and we've asked the Attorney General's office for that. And it's kind of, I don't want to get into this, it's kind of a complicated question, because that comes about because House Bill 1155, there was an amendment that provided a sunset of recertification decisions under House Bill 1155. So in other words, a recertification under 1155 will expire in 2 years. So it may be that we still need to come back eventually and do the request for reconsideration just to finalize the process for those systems. With respect to the what we've called the informal process, the conditions that are attached to recertified systems, anything that's decided under House Bill 1155 does not foreclose additional discussion about those conditions. So I think it's the intent of the Secretary for the decertified systems that we're talking about today, that if any of them are recertified, they will be recertified taking into consideration the suggested or recommended conditions that the testing board has provided. But that doesn't foreclose additional discussion about those conditions. That will remain open. I hope that covers some of the background. I probably bored everybody, but nobody left. What I'd like to do is then focusing on basically the what I call the major deficiency reports of the testing board, go through each agenda item, starting with HART, because we have 47 counties that are that use HART, and I figured that possibly the greatest number of people here would be from the HART counties or be interested in the HART system. So let me start by, I think the HART counties have a designated representative, and it may be Hillary Hall or Jack Arrowsmith or both. And so if we do have the podium set up here, and if for anybody who's testifying, please identify yourself, and who you represent if you do represent an organization. Oh, I'm sorry, Jack. You're right. I'm sorry. Thank you. And nobody was willing to kick me under the table here. you're absolutely right. What we'd said was we'd first hear a presentation from the testing board. So John Gardner, I think, will provide that. I apologize, John, if you want to explain what the testing board has been up to.
Sure. Thank you. Essentially, the testing board addressed what the major deficiencies were identified in the December 17th order, and specifically in the Secretary of State's document that was released, the information for the central count scanners and the precinct scanners is listed as failed to count ballots correctly. We addressed that in the project overview binder initially on the website. I believe it's labeled as 8.2, and there have been no changes to that. But essentially, we have issues with the scanners and their ability to consistently detect stray marks. The work that the Secretary asked us to do after the December 17th was to kind of escalate this measure into identifying all the different combinations, as many different types of stray marks as possible. So you'll see in the new documentation that's been posted after it was scanned in, I think we got it up this morning, we do have the documentation from the work of the testing board that went through all the different stray mark issues for both System 6.0 and the upgraded version, System 6.2.1. There was some talk in December and January about the possibility that the upgraded system would address some of these issues, but the test results turned out that it did not, and it still had the same consistency problem with their scanners. So in the deficiencies report that was posted on the 15th, we've identified this situation. We identified some of the work that had been done. We spent multiple days with the vendor. We have lots of video records of this. I think we have 31 new DVDs from our testing. And again, we did do testing for both System 6.2.1 and System 6.0. And at the end of the day, we actually identified in a table that's part of this deficiency report the 10 specific stray marks that consistently cause problems, and that's on page 6 of that report. And then specifically, we thought about, you know, the Secretary requested from us possible procedures that might be implemented by counties to try to eliminate some of these stray marks that could appear on ballots. And the testing board, I think, worked really hard to come up with this procedure. And you know, the bottom line is we just present this as a possible option. This is not a recommendation that we're making. Because of this accuracy issue, the testing board felt pretty strongly that this workaround may not address this. You're introducing a human process to eliminate a machine error, and that inherently errant process of humans trying to sort the ballots is one of the major hang-ups. And I think we identified that in our report.
And I think what's, I'm trying to remember also what we posted on, we posted the major deficiency report, which includes the pre-sort procedure that was drafted. It's attached to that. And then I think in this case, I think the testing board's documentation with respect to the additional testing on both version 6.0 and version 6.2.1, that's also posted on our website as well.
That's correct. All the ballots that we used, all of the reports that were generated, all the notes from either the vendor or the testing board, we had that documentation scanned in, and there are two very large PDF files.
And I think one of them I saw was about 381 pages. I mean, it's notes, it's diagrams, it's pretty detailed stuff, but I wanted to let people know that is on the website as well.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else then from the testing board's perspective?
I think that's it.
Okay. Jack Arrowsmith and Hillary Hall.
First, we want to thank you all for allowing us the opportunity today to come in and address the issues that have been raised in the certification process. We are very thankful to be participating in this next phase as outlined in House Bill 1155, where we get to take in our administrative processes. These processes are already outlined in rule and statute, and we feel that once we take a look at these, we'll be able to demonstrate that our current processes actually mitigate any issues that have been raised by the stray mark concern that has been raised. The stray marks have always existed. Anytime you have a paper ballot and a pen, the odds of a stray mark ending up somewhere on the ballot unintended is there. And so we in Boulder County have used the system since 2004, and so we think that as we move through this, we'll show that it hasn't had an impact to date. We also think it's really important to point out that the Ballot Now system accurately counts all ballots that have been properly marked by the voter. And that's a really important thing for us to remember, because we do voter education, and the point of that is to show people how to mark their ballot. And when it's done that way, the machine marks the ballot and scores it accurately. This has been repeatedly demonstrated in our LAT testing and our post-election audits. So today we'd like to discuss what, if any, impact a stray mark would have on the results of an election. We'd first like to look at the probability of a stray mark occurring in an actual election setting, which is quite different than a test setting where you're intentionally making stray marks, which then makes it really not a stray mark. It's an intentional mark. So we will also like to discuss how our existing administrative processes mitigate the impact of any stray mark and what it could have on the election. And then we'll conclude with our recommendations on the best way to utilize our HART system in order to conduct accurate elections with transparent processes and verifiable results. And I'm going to turn it over to Jack.
Thank you, Hillary. This next part may be a little bit dry, so let me apologize in advance for that. Yesterday, I went to two folks at Douglas County, Nancy Gideon and Robert Barton. Both are statisticians for our planning department, and I said, let's compose a model based on this program to show statistically how these stray marks might affect the outcome of an election. And that's pretty much what we're interested in, the outcome of the election. The first, I think, important thing is what does the word stray mean? In this case, it's being used as an adjective to define the word mark. And Webster says not close together in time, isolated instances of rebellion, or scattered fire. So, interesting definition, but I think it somewhat applies. So, what we're talking about now is the voting system accuracy, and I want to reiterate what Hillary just said, that when, I don't think there's any argument that when the box is marked properly, HART 100% of the time reads that correctly. So, what we're really looking at is this stray mark issue. We also know that based on the HART system, overvotes are individually resolved by the system itself and the way it's set up. We use two judges from different parties to look at an overvote and determine what voter intent is in terms of that, as required by statute and rule. So as a result, we're not really worried about properly marked ballots. We're not really worried about overvoted ballots, but what we are worried about is a ballot that has been undervoted, where the individual intentionally left something blank, and a stray mark wandered into the box, where in fact they ask for the ballot to remain blank. And I think if I've got this working right, we might see examples of that on the ballot. So you can see here's a correctly marked ballot. Here is an example of an overvote where you're supposed to choose one, but you've chosen twice. And here is a situation where there was an undervote. Now let me talk a little bit about the overvoted contest and why that's not a problem. If the individual had marked clearly in a box for a particular candidate, candidate A, for instance, and a stray mark gets into candidate B, and the system picks that up as an overvote, then that goes before the judges and they resolve that. And they can see quite clearly, and we'll go with the 10 marks that are there, but they can see quite clearly what the voter intent was, and so no harm, no foul. All right, so what we tried to do is build a statistical model, and again, I used our statisticians in Douglas County. And I used the 2006 election in Douglas County to help build this statistical model. In that 2006 election, there were 140,000 ballots cast, actually a little more. We've rounded down from this point on. It was actually 140,235, but for purposes of our model today, I'm going to keep it at 140,000. On that particular ballot, there were 95 different races on the ballot. The ballot size was 11 inches by 17, and it was on two sides. And it was a four-column ballot. So what I want to do is show you the ballot here, if I can figure out how to do this. and give you an example. I need to talk a little bit about the ballot as we move forward. Two things are important. When I'm going to talk about total ballot territory, and that's the entire ballot itself, and I'm going to talk about targets.
So if we take the ballot as a whole, here's the entire ballot, then targets are where a voter can make a decision. Remember, a string mark could wind up anywhere on the ballot itself, but it's only important if the string mark winds up in one of the boxes that a voter is voting for. And it's only important if it winds up in a box where there's an undervote, where the system might unintentionally count that as a vote because we've got an undervote. So again, target areas and ballot territory, I think, are important.
All right. The assumptions that we're making on this as we build our statistical model, we are saying there's no way of really determining who's going to put a stray mark on a ballot. So for the purposes of our model, we assumed that of the 140,000 voters that voted, every single one put a stray mark on the ballot. So 140,000 people put a stray mark on the ballot. Of the multitude of different kinds of stray marks that you can put on a ballot, we also assumed that every 140,000 individuals who put stray marks on the ballot put one of the 10 problematic stray marks onto the ballot. Finally, we're saying generally people want their ballots to be counted. Generally, they want to mark them properly. And the model assumes in this case, in 2006 we were using DREs, but in this case we'll assume that every ballot came in paper. So we can build the model from there. Paper is the only place that we have the problem. Stray marks don't occur on DREs. Okay, the ballot was 11 inches by 17 double-sided, or 374 square inches on the ballot. There were, as I said, 95 target boxes on the ballot, and that consisted of 2.96 square inches of target area on the ballot, or 0.79% of the total ballot area. Okay, so of the whole ballot, 0.79% was the only place on the ballot that if the stray mark landed, it would have an effect. There were probably stray marks being placed in target box. The probability of a stray mark being placed in a target box then is 0.79%. If we are thinking that the marks are random, there's 0.79% chance of them landing in a box. Now, we have to define that a little bit further, because remember, it can't land in a box with a normal vote or an overvote. It must only land in a box where there is an undervote. In this case, in that particular election, 10.23% of the people who were involved in the race had undervotes on their ballots. On average, again, we average everything out, that meant that 4.4 races of the 43 total races on the ballot were undervoted on average. This meant that an average of 9.7 target boxes were available to land the stray mark and have an impact. So if we analyze that, 9.7 target boxes on our ballot represented 0.08% of the total ballot area, or 8 out of every 10,000 ballots had the possibility of a stray mark landing in a target that was undervoted. I see eyes glazing over. I apologize about this. And maybe it's a good time, if I can get my mouse to work again. Maybe not. Well, I'm going to go on. Remember, the total ballot is the target area. In this case, 0.08% of the total target area was where you could put a stray mark and that it would have an effect on the outcome of the election. Now, the last thing that we want to say is, according to the testing panel, and we agree that they've kind of identified an anomaly with Hart, it was inconsistent in terms of how it was registering these target marks. Now, that means that sometimes it didn't identify the mark as a vote. Sometimes it did. So I'm saying in a worst-case scenario, 50% of the time it identified it as a stray mark, didn't register it as a vote. 50% of the time it did register as a vote. So that, if we take 50% of that, then that brings us to 4 ballots in 10,000. In our particular race, then, we had the possibility of 56 total ballots out of 140,000 where that vote could have been affected because of the stray mark landing in an undervoted race. Further from that, though, and another complicating factor is, if the vote was to be changed by 56 votes out of 140,000, every single stray mark would have had to land in the same race. So you would have to have those stray marks in race A, and every one of those 56 ballots would have to land in that in order to have the race affected by 56 counts. Our conclusion to this is, we believe that the anomaly is in effect happening, but we also believe that it's statistically inconsequential. We don't really believe that it has an impact in terms of the race. Here is the formula that my statisticians came up with. That's kind of boring, but in essence, that was the calculation that our two statisticians put together in order to put this together. Now, what we've done is created a model and a hypothesis in terms of this stray mark situation. So what we'd like to do at this point is go into some anecdotal evidence to see whether or not our hypothesis does work out. So we're going to talk about real live elections that have happened recently in these three counties. I'm going to start in Douglas County and give you an example of where we think the real live example of the election reflects very much the model we built in our 2006 election. Douglas County had an 07 election, as all counties did. We had 43,000 votes cast, somewhat short of 43,000 in our 07 election. One of the interesting things about our election is we had a close race. It did not fall into the half of 1% difference. It was greater than that, but the Douglas County Library had a close race, and they asked for a recount. In that recount, of course, we're running those ballots through the equipment once again, and we are resolving the ballots once again. In that particular race, the equipment with the 43,000 ballots counted it exactly the same way it did to begin with. There was no change in the election outcome. I have to rephrase that. There was a change in the election outcome because of resolution. Resolution, as I said, two human beings look at the ballot and resolve it, trying to determine voter intent. In this case, it changed by one vote because we resolved the ballot differently in the recount than they did in the original election. Anecdotal fact number two for Douglas County. We had an election last week in Castle Pines North. We had somewhat short of 3,000 ballots. This was a period of time when we had recognized these stray marks. So we physically looked at every one of those 3,000 ballots in underraces looking for those stray marks. Of the 3,000 ballots that were cast, we found zero stray marks that landed in a box where there was an undervote. So as a result, that pretty much verifies the model that we built originally. Fran's going to tell us about Montrose County.
Good afternoon, Francine Long, Montrose County Clerk and Recorder. And it's great to be here, thank you. I would like to tell you about our polling place election for 2007. As you know, Montrose County is a watch list county, and we were under tremendous scrutiny. We had a paper ballot election using central count scanners. We were aware of the stray mark issue at that time. Our election judges used the method of instructing the voter on election day on the proper method of marking a ballot, using a sample ballot as a guide to show you the do's and don'ts. My canvas board that was appointed were some of our most vocal 2006 challengers. They were my canvas board, they were extremely critical board, and they were encouraged, greatly encouraged to find any anomaly or any issues. As you can imagine, they enthusiastically tried to find an issue. My post-election audit was 100%. There were no issues. Again, a properly marked ballot, and the procedures that we use mitigate stray issues. Thank you.
Hi, Hillary Hall again, Boulder County Clerk and Recorder, and I wanted to speak on our Longmont election that we held at the end of January. We did a 20% audit of that election with 2,800 ballots, looking specifically to make sure that our machines had tabulated these paper ballots the same with the machine as was recorded on the ballot. And we had 100% accuracy with our audit from the machine count standpoint. We also had one issue, which was a difference in a resolution team. One team interpreted based on statute, the other team interpreted the outcome based on voter intent. But again, that wasn't a machine issue, that was a human interpretation issue. The other part with that is, we would have expected, if stray marks occur at a 1% error rate, we would have thought we would have found a stray mark impacting the outcome of our audit, and we did not find that to be the case. In addition, we wanted to point back to the 2007 election, where 5% of the ballots from 47 counties were audited, and there were no issues that, to our knowledge, were brought forward that related to a stray mark. And again, we do believe stray marks do exist. It's when do they exist and impact the outcome of election, and we believe we would have seen that come forward in our post-election audits that we've conducted so far. So now we'd like to go forward with our recommendations. Thank you. Sorry, I skipped the phase. Now actually we'd like to go forward with what our process is currently in place, how they address any impact that a stray mark may have on an election. Thanks. Nancy?
I've been appointed to talk about the historical perspective, so that lets you know how long I've been around in this business.
Nancy, if you'll just identify yourself.
Oh, and I am Nancy Amick. I'm the Rio Blanco County Clerk and Recorder.
Thank you.
Sorry, Bill. Yeah. I think that one of the key components that we need to take into consideration is our existing administrative process, our security processes as well, that need to be factored into how we process the ballots. Basically, our existing administrative processes are outlined in the Uniform Ballot Counting Standards, Rule 27, that was developed by a task force that was established by the Secretary of State's office. And that task force came together after the infamous Florida presidential election, where we realized that, you know, voters might vote with yellow highlighter. They might do a number of different things. And so, it was basically to outline and address improper marks and also define what constitutes a vote, a definition of a vote. A definition of a vote was established in the rules as a properly marked filled in oval or properly marked ballot is how it's outlined in Rule 27. And then basically what this committee did, it was a bipartisan task force, and it was an agonizing process. I can tell you it was not easy. It went over probably about 6 months of some pretty serious and contentious discussions on how we could arrive at a uniform way that we would count ballots. We also investigated other states and what they established in their uniform ballot standards. And one of the things was we wanted to make sure that we were treating the voter who voted in a precinct scanner location the same as we treated a voter in a central count location. And we came to the conclusion, as Jack had recommended, that we would sort for overvoted races and blank ballots. And so we would consistently be treating our voters the same way. And so basically, I would caution, I know that there's a recommendation to temporarily repeal a rule that is included in that uniform ballots counting standards, and I would caution that this process has been developed from county to county, between systems, to make sure that we are treating our voters consistently statewide, and that it's a very good procedure that allows us a consistency in the way that we are addressing how people vote. Thank you. And at this time, we're going to have Ann Eddins come up and talk about voter education.
Ann Eddins, Delta County Clerk and Recorder. Voter education is a key component of the election process. When a voter is educated and marks their ballot as instructed, it is counted consistently and accurately. The Clerks Association knows that voter education is critical in this year's election and is currently working on plans to get a consistent statewide message to the voters.
Thank you. Deborah Green, Park County Clerk. The Hart Counties support the e-scan procedures as recommended by the testing board. Park County uses the e-scans, and I've used them twice in the 2006 primary and general election in six vote centers with no no issues. The e-scans are also used for my absentee count. I used the e-scans for the 2007 mail ballot election, counting 4,500 ballots without any issues. With the LNA testing and the post-testing that we do with our elections, our results are 100%. We know that training and educating our judges and educating our voters is extremely important for the 2008 election in polling places, vote centers, or a mail ballot election. A properly marked ballot is always counted in an accurate and consistent manner in the Hart system for the e-scan. Thank you.
Currently, we have in statute a requirement for recounting on any close race. It's half of 1% difference between the two races. I think this afternoon what we've shown is that with the anomaly that exists, statistically that falls way under that half of 1% that's the mandatory recount in terms of that. And we believe that because we're asked to do the mandatory recount with half of 1% and individually visually inspect each ballot, this really compensates for any problems that might be caused by stray marks.
And basically, I think what we want to state today is that we do believe that a properly marked ballot counts correctly. And part of our recommendations is that we would agree with the testing board and increase voter information as outlined in the e-scan, the polling place procedure, as well as increased voter education on properly marking your ballot for mail-in ballots as well. We also would agree that that the uniform ballot standards need to be consistently applied to the process, so that the process of what constitutes a vote is consistently applied across the state, regardless of the system. And so, at any rate, that's part of our recommendations that we feel like. We as our existing processes and our uniform ballot standards can address the stray mark issues, and we thank you very much for the opportunity to come before you today and speak to these issues. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I had some questions, but actually you covered all the questions I was going to ask. So thank you. Let me just ask, I have one other county clerk that signed up to testify concerning Hart, Keek, Simonton, and so I guess, oh.
I do.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, if you would.
I'm Joyce Reno, Chaffee County Clerk and Recorder, and all I would really like to say is that I've been involved in elections for many, many years. I won't tell you how many years, but it's been over 30 years, so it's been a very long time. And we have been very successful in the elections that we have held, and I am a firm believer in educating our voters. That's very, very important to me as an elected official. And educating our voters has and will continue to be one of my top priorities. In regards to the paper ballots that we have used, and we have used paper ballots before becoming a Hart user, we were with ES&S, so our county is very familiar with paper ballots, and we have used paper ballots since 1990. And so we have instructed our voters for many, many years on how to correctly mark ballots, and so they are very familiar on how to mark ballots. And last year, in 2007, we had a mail ballot election, and during our post audit that we held, we had very, very few stray marks on our ballots. So we had, I think, just one or two that we came across when we did our post audit. So, and they were just very, very slight, like one in your examples that were that the Secretary of State's office handed out. They were like in our first little box there. So we did find those in our audit. But again, I would like to say that voter education plays a very important role in Chaffee County in the use of our voting equipment. And I want to also give our voters, our average voter in our county as well as in the state of Colorado, I feel is very well educated and well prepared. And I think we also need to give our voters credit for that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other county clerks that want to talk about the Hart voting systems? Okay. Thanks. And I think next I'd like to hear from Hart InterCivic if Travis Harrell, who's also signed up, would like to come forward.
Good afternoon. I'm Travis Harrell, the Director of Compliance for Hart InterCivic, and I want to say on behalf of Hart that we certainly appreciate the opportunity to come and address the forum this afternoon. The first and most important point that I want to make is to reiterate what Hillary said at the top of this session, and that is that the Hart system does count votes correctly and consistently. What you've heard here from the Colorado clerks this afternoon only confirms what we know about the system, and that is that we have an extensive track record of accomplishing accurate elections. The fact is that their experience is totally consistent with the experience of a broad base of installs that we have that spans more than 13 states, over 330 customers from Virginia to Hawaii. This system has been in use for 7 years, and during that period, the system has been tested and certified and used and audited, and it's been examined from inside and out by everybody from the East Coast to the West Coast, and there's not a whole lot more that can be laid out for people to examine and look at this system, and in each time the results have been consistent. We have always been credited with having an accurate system and producing accurate results. The second point I want to make is that we acknowledge that all central count optical scan type systems may encounter ballot marks that may be seen and interpreted differently under different conditions. Now, a number of those conditions are described in publications. For example, there's a paper out by Douglas Jones, the University of Iowa, the Department of Computer Science up there, entitled Counting Mark Sense Ballots Relating Technology, the Law, and Common Sense. If you're interested in looking at some of those examples, that's a good publication to review. This topic is also addressed in the draft 2007 Voluntary Voting System Standards. Those, of course, are not in effect at this time, but when they do come into effect, they recognize that this phenomena is here, and they also prescribe specific measures that should be taken to turn those cases where stray marks or unintentional marks are found over to humans for resolution. Now, it's interesting to note that the HART system currently has the capability, as Jack has reported, that to actually take those marks, and when they create an overvote situation, to turn those over to humans for resolution. That's standard operating procedure. That's the way we train our customers to use the system. The point here is that this is a known phenomena, and that this functionality in the HART system was put in there deliberately, and that some of the common optical scan systems that use a conventional resolution of their of such overvotes do not provide the opportunity for a human intervention, and they simply disregard the voter's vote and record it as an overvote, in which case it's lost. This is, as I said, a known phenomena, and it's been dealt with by elections officials across the country for many years successfully, and they have done an excellent job of implementing processes and procedures through the state, through local procedures, to understand what there is to know about this and to take the compensating measures that are needed. The third point I want to make is that the review that we have done of actual election ballots supports the conclusions that are voiced by the clerks. The potential for stray marks to impact the outcome of election is well below the threshold that triggers the recount action. And in that recount action, every vote has to be reviewed, and when every ballot is reviewed, then any kind of stray mark potential impact that was there will be identified and will be eliminated from the count. Our experience with the voting system over the many years also supports the clerk's conclusions that existing rules and statutes governing ballot processing, post-election audits, and recounts taken as a whole encompass measures that instill the highest level of confidence that the counting of stray marks has not been in the past and will not be in the future a factor that impacts the outcome of an election. And finally, I would just like to express our appreciation for the wisdom, for the initiative, and for the timely action of the Colorado State Legislature and the Secretary of State for putting into place a process which provides additional opportunity to review these matters. HART's mission is to support our customers, to provide them with the systems and the assistance that they need to conduct elections that are open, accurate, secure, reliable, and accessible. And although we think that our participation in these kinds of processes is very important, we believe even more strongly that the participation by local election officials in these processes is absolutely essential. So thank you again, Mr. Secretary, for the opportunity to address this forum. We are confident that you will take all the information that you hear from all sources today, and in your decision processes will reach the conclusions that will benefit the citizens of Colorado. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Harrell. I'm going to move on to other people that have signed up to testify regarding HART. Although, let me ask the HART counties that did the presentation, Mr. Arrowsmith or Ms. Hall, do we have the PowerPoint presentation in writing, or could we get that? We'd like to have that part of the... Okay. Thank you. Let's see, from the sign-up sheet, Howard Greenbaum.
My name is Howard Greenbaum. I'm the author of a book that was published 18 years ago called Free Elections with question mark, question mark, question mark, because hardly have our elections been free. And the book was How to Get Clean Elections. I'm up here to speak for the public, because primarily, when I look around this room, I think it's primarily people from government. The same government that bought these machines is now being represented by the people of many clerks' offices. Voting machines should have three requirements. Number one, transparency. They do not. As the manufacturers refuse to allow government experts to examine their software. Number two, they should have reliability. They do not. They frequently break down. Three, and final, they should have accountability. They do not. There is no paper trail to the recounting of votes by the DRE touchscreen voting machines. I've noticed so far that it's been a cheering section for the voting counting machines. However, my reading, which is fairly expansive, I have found that many of the optical scanner machines do not work that well, as has been testified today that they all do. So I say, from my position of representing the public, that they have the same problems. Both of these machines are like candy machines. They're full of sweets for somebody. Nobody knows how many are in the bowl, and nobody knows how many you'll get when you put the lever down. We cannot conduct fair elections with candy machines. We must insist on paper ballots, and we must insist on hand ballots, hand counting of the ballots. It does not have to be centralized. It can be done by precinct for the counting. We cannot trust machines to run our elections. Most nations in the world get along just fine with paper ballots and hand counting of the votes. And my last words are for Mike Kaufman, the Secretary of State. And I'm glad you're here so I can say it to your face. Your decision to recertify the Diebold alias Premier machines while the people who are running your congressional campaign are at the same time representing Diebold alias Premier puts you in a definite conflict of interest. I call on you to step down as our Secretary of State and allow someone with no relationship with Diebold or any other voting machine to become our Secretary of State. Your action to recertify only the Diebold machines disqualifies you to represent the public interest in the most important function of the Office of Secretary of the State, that is to protect our elections from fraud and abuse. That's the end of my statement. And I think I represent an awful lot of people in this state, a lot of voters.
Okay, thank you very much. I don't have anybody else signed up to testify on the Hart. On Hart? Okay, Mr. Kollwitz. I had you down under general comments.
I wish to explain. My name is Al Kollwitz. I'm with the Colorado Voter Group, and I had not intended to speak regarding the Hart. But when I heard this testimony, I was provoked into asking for some time to explain some things, some facts that were not mentioned. And I'll go through these very briefly. It would be much better if it were a dialogue, but I'll do it as a monologue. First of all, I am a Canvas Board member in Boulder County and have direct experience with the Hart equipment. I know from personal experience that the Hart equipment has had counting problems that are somewhat related to the topic of the stray mark, but ever so slightly different. For example, when ballots were printed in one election, Hart could not read the ballots because they were printed by an independent vendor. And it was because the boxes had strayed a little into the voting space, just in the printing process. During the logic and accuracy test, we discovered these stray marks issues and others, and were disallowed from really pursuing them. I, in fact, was, I want to use the word removed, but I wasn't physically altercated. I was instructed to leave the room as the canvas board member doing the logic and accuracy test because I marked the ballots inappropriately. I didn't fill the circles or squares in exactly as requested using exactly the color pen. I was simulating an absentee voter, a stupid human who did what he had on the table. In vote by mail, you have no control over what the voter does. In the case of the mark itself, the mark could be deposited by the voter onto the paper, but the mark could also be deposited by dirt, which got onto the paper, or dirt that's on the machine. So that if you look at the paper, it's perfectly clear. There are no stray marks. And when you scan it, because there's a mark on the machine, it would appear that there was a mark. So you've been given pablum in this presentation. Now, I have several more points that I want to talk about that are important. Number one, you got the impression that the Hart machine, when there was an overvote, would kick the ballot out and have a bipartisan board resolve the ambiguity of the overvote. That is absolutely false. It is something that the Hart machine can do, but it is not something that the machine will do. And in elections in Boulder County, when it was running late and we wanted to get results done, we turned a switch in the software that said to the hardware, auto-resolve these ballots. And it didn't kick them out to people. It just guessed that these were all overvotes. So you're being given a line that is partially true but not true. The ballot that you were shown in the demonstration by Mr. Arrowsmith lacked some very important data. It showed the center of the ballot, but it didn't show what's around the edges. And that's very important. And you should ask about that. We're talking about the probability of a stray mark occurring in a box as though it were really a random act that the stray mark occurred. Our experience is that the stray mark occurs probably because somebody is thinking. And they're looking in this box wondering if it's this or that. And so all of these statistical nonsense that you've been presented is not true. It's possible. So it's in fact true, but not probable. So therefore, not true. Finally, I believe that manual interpretation of the vote on a ballot is superior to any of the existing optical reading technology, the interpretation. Not the counting necessarily, but the interpretation. We would love to work with the Hart system to use the tools that should be there, but are not, in order to support the use of the automation. Two things are missing. One is Hart is not able or unwilling to produce the files that it uses during the election in a form that can be inspected by the canvas board. Data needed to verify whether or not the ballots are being interpreted correctly is being withheld by Hart. That should disturb you. And you should, as a part of your resolution here, insist that that data be made available. And finally, the process of testing, canvassing is all non-transparent. We're allowed to have poll watchers who could look at Hillary back there running, doing something on a computer, and that's what the poll watcher gets to see as their oversight. So I really need you to understand that you've been fed a line and I hope that my flailing here is able to communicate to you some of the facts and have you take them into consideration and not believe the story that you've just been handed. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to testify regarding the HART system? I thought I may have seen a hand in the back. Anybody else want to talk? Oh, Ms. Conroy. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry, I can sorry. Find your sheet after.
I should have realized that's what you were waiting for.
Yeah, okay. Hi, my name's Mariah Conroy. Thank you for having this forum today. Sorry if my son's crying in the background, but try to be quick. And I get nervous, so I'm going to read a little bit, but I just wanted to, so the major identified deficiency with the HART system is that it can't count votes. It doesn't properly count votes. The testing board has now found that twice, even with the HART approved pens, that the optical scan is not properly counting votes because of the stray marks. As far as the recertification determination, this is to be governed by the recently passed House Bill 1155, and that was signed into law by the governor. Colorado law explicitly states that the recertification can only be granted if a modification was made to the system, and we know that that hasn't happened. We know that HART doesn't have a modification that will address this, as was evidenced in Mr. Gardner's emails. So recertification would then of the current system would then be a relaxation of the current standards, which is prohibited by House Bill 1155, and therefore it would be a violation of the law. Additionally, the secretary should the secretary attempt to exercise his discretion and determine that the HART system substantially complies with the law, the testing board's acknowledging incomplete guidance on training 2 to 3 teams per ballot batch dedicated to translating stray marks to scanning is hastily composed, it's unproven, and it just excuses the vendor from their responsibility. We're creating the system very quickly to accommodate a system that's really not up to the task. It seems to me that sort and stack hand count methods with proven success and processes would be a more rational solution if we're going to move ahead with the testing board's suggested resolution. I'd also like to say that the testing board does also call out that the unique serial numbers on the ballots required by the system violates Colorado's right to a secret ballot. I'd like to say that also that perhaps it's time to confront the reality that proprietary voting systems are not the appropriate technology for elections administration. Colorado revised statute requires that the secretary hold a public hearing at which interested parties can be allowed to present testimony and documentary evidence. This has not happened. This is more or less a charade of a public hearing because the decisions more or less have already been made, and therefore our testimony is not really going to well, I guess we'll see in the end, but our testimony is being made part of the record, but it's not influencing, you know, your decision potentially. So I guess we'll see, but if it's going to be announced on Monday, it would seem to me that probably that decision's already been made, and therefore my appearing here is merely just to make a record of it, but I wouldn't consider this a technical public hearing where the public's input is actually influencing what the actual decision will be. If the recertification had been followed by Colorado law, I would have introduced evidence, including source code review of the HART electronic voting system. It was prepared by prepared for the California Secretary of State in her top to bottom review. It enumerates many, many significant issues which should not have been addressed by the testing board. They include unsecure network interfaces, vulnerability to malicious inputs, no or insecure use of cryptography, and failure to protect ballot secrecy. Furthermore, the system is unable to provide a full export of results, which would lend to proper auditing and full examination of those ballots. As well, the clerks do not have access to the cast vote records and the scanned ballot images, which are truly needed to have confidence that what the machine said is what the image presented. Right, and so because HART has never made that available, I know that clerks have asked for that, and HART has just refused to provide that documentation. So the options that I see before you are that clerks, if the clerks continue to cling to their talking point that they've never had any problems with the HART optical scanner, which is blatantly correct. I don't know if you remember Boulder in 2004. they'll need to prove this purported accuracy. So considering the emergency conditions related to elections, Colorado can sensibly plan for a proper hand count to ensure an implementable solution. Clerks can begin right now reaching out to their election partners, the voters, and ensure a well-executed, open, and secure election this fall. Simultaneously, the Secretary of State, with the assistance of the Attorney General, should immediately commence negotiations with the private vendor, Hart InterCivic, to seek return of taxpayers' money for gross misrepresentation. I don't know where I have a board that shows the stray marks that we're supposed to, it wasn't the solution the testing board put out there, but as it wasn't their full solution, but it was just some guidance as to how clerks might train voting judges, election workers to spot the stray marks. And this would be really laughable if it weren't so serious. And so we're going to train election judges and people from the public to look for these marks that are by nature inadvertent. So we're going to, it just, to me, we'd all be sitting here laughing if it weren't so dang serious. So I thank you all for being here. I mean, I feel a little, funny because, my county clerk and I, Hillary Hall, work very well together. I know she has the best intentions, but I just think that, the clerks are not necessarily in a position to have their system recertified at this point according to what's been laid out in the law and most recently passed, and I thank you for this meeting today.
Ms. Conroy, I actually have a comment and a question.
Okay.
So the comment, I do want to assure you that no decision has been made. The goal is to make a decision by Monday, and even this morning we've talked internally about the fact that depending on what information we get, and we've made the opportunity for written comments by 3 o'clock tomorrow, it may not be possible. But although you may be skeptical, I just want to assure you.
No, thank you for that clarification.
That the decision has not been made.
Okay. I'm not a professional like you, so.
One thing I didn't quite follow right at the beginning,
okay.
Are you saying that under 1155, a system cannot be recertified unless it has been modified?
Yes.
Or is that confusing two different? Okay, could you explain that? I didn't quite follow that from 11. What, is there something in 1155 that says that?
Yeah, there sure is. Let's see. "Quote unquote." I could grab the whole thing if I look it up in here. But it says if a system has been modified to comply with applicable standards, and I could ask counsel if you'd like to hear the,
okay.
To have it written completely, and the Senator Gordon's here as well. But yeah, it says that if the system hasn't been modified, then it can't be recertified. And I mean, I know that Mr. Gardner and the team had reached out to Hart InterCivic to get the next version of the software to see if that upgrade, would in fact answer the problem with the stray mark. And I know the Secretary had, said, go ahead, if it does, let's go ahead and proceed with that test. And Hart says, well, it's not going to fix that problem. So there hasn't been a modification to the system. So how can you recertify a system that hasn't been modified? That would, I mean, that you tell me, but to me that's just that's a relaxation of the standards. And we haven't seen all the test documentation. The clerks haven't been involved in that. There hasn't been public access to the testing. So I'm not saying that it's not possible, but what we've seen so far, how can you recertify it without relaxing the standards? So that would be like what I'd want you to answer for sure.
Okay. Well,
yeah, of course, not today, of course.
Right.
But, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else wish to testify on the Hart InterCivic voting system, the decertified optical scan? Then I'm going to move on to the next agenda item, which is Sequoia. And we'll start with Mr. Gardner as far as the report from the testing board, and I think there may be a bit of a demonstration as well, but I'll turn it over to Mr. Gardner.
Thank you. We're going to bring a couple of DREs out. I'll give a little background as to what we're going to present here. The major deficiencies that were identified by the Secretary of State on December 17th for the Sequoia voting systems included just their two DRE units, the Edge 2 and the Edge 2 Plus. And the three items listed were the failure to operate in a secured state requiring passwords, failure to provide auditable data to detect security violations, and failure to ensure all electronic records have corresponding BPAT records. Specifically, what the test board identified in the original project overview report that was posted at that same time, the A2 version of the report, the issues with the devices include the fact that there are operable controls on the back of the device that any voter could activate and add to the count or change the function of the device. In addition to that, there was, in our discussion with the Office of Cybersecurity, we were looking for a methodology to control security instances where vote totals would be impacted. And this also led to some of our discussion about the electronic records being incomplete or missing if the paper was loaded incorrectly due to the thermal nature of the paper or difficulty of the VPAT devices. So we attempted to come to conclusions using a printer test to provide that assurance that the VPAT record would be complete, to have an increased auditability of the device to be able to detect if a security violation had taken place. You would have this audit record to show if something occurred. At the time of December 17th, the Sequoia documentation that we had did not support the ability to do a print test during the voting mode, and we found out after the fact that that function was available. We requested the documentation from Sequoia. We had them come on site and work with the test board to show how this print test would take place, and then our findings are documented from that process. So in our executive, the major deficiencies report, which was posted on February 15th, in addition, we updated the project overview binder to change the information that was available about the DREs and how we have overcome this using a judge procedure to do a print test, and that's what we're going to demonstrate here for you on the two devices. And so Jerome has the Edge 2 and the Edge 2 Plus set up here, and you can see if you take the VPAT cover off on the Edge 2 here, you can see that threading the VPAT paper is a bit of an involved process for a judge to accomplish with little training. In addition, we have documentation from the vendor on site where rolls of paper that are provided to the counties and even to the testing board are not printed with the right thermal side. So the documentation says load it this way, but because the rolls of paper are printed incorrectly, you actually have to put it on a different way. So you could load the paper correctly according to the documentation, but you would walk away and voters would be casting votes without actually printing the VPAT record. So Jerome, can you walk us through, I'll talk it through if you want to show how to thread the paper on the VPAT device.
Jerome, I don't know whether you can, I don't know, move slightly to the side. If you, I know it's hard, then you can't see what you're doing probably, but.
So once you get the paper on, you've got to kind of go up and under the metal plate, back down to the thermal print head, back up across the top of the device. What do you need? Oh, you have to have scotch tape handy to actually tape the paper to the top of the spool uptake after you thread it across another guiding roll. So after the judge gets this done, the cover would be put back on. You can go ahead and put the cover on there first, and then turn the device and everybody can see that the print test will provide feedback to the judges that they have the paper installed correctly. Thank you. you're in vote mode now. Sorry. Okay, so this is the normal screen for the Sequoia device when it's ready for the next voter. Of course, the device would be displaying out of paper or low paper. So then the judge would come to the back of the device, put their key in, and then turn the switch, and this will enter a diagnostics mode where the judge can perform a print test. Yeah, go ahead and do the full print test. And then they'll be able to see before the next voter comes that the paper is installed correctly and is printing. And they just have two different versions of the device. The concept is the same, and for each device.
So let me see if I've got this right. Then to perform the print test, use the key in the back, and there's something. Of course, I couldn't see it from this side, but there's something on the screen that you do when you're in the right mode.
Yeah, when you turn the key, you enter a diagnostic screen, and there's a button on the screen that says print test.
Okay.
And you just go to that print tester, and I think there's two different buttons: print test, then print test again.
Okay. Well, sorry, we don't have you on the record, and if you want to, I don't know whether you signed up again, Mr. Greenbaum. I know you did. I would say if you want to comment on this one or ask a question, just maybe when they're done, we could do that if that's okay. I was asking some questions. Let me finish that if you don't mind. And let this part of it finish. No, that's okay. I mean, I can see it later. I just wanted to make sure I knew what was happening with that. If it's not correctly threaded, what happens at that point?
Okay, if the printer paper is not threaded correctly, one of two things will happen. Either the paper will roll forward and it'll make noise, but ink will not be deposited on the paper, so no visual display would take place. Or the device is going to make some kind of a crunching sound, indicating that you'll see through the window that the paper is crunching up, and you'll know you're misaligned.
Okay. And again, I think the significance of this, as I understand it, is that this is critical. The VPAT is critical in case some of the other problems occur with the machine.
That's correct.
And so that's why having the VPAT, making sure that it's properly threaded and printed, is critical. And the procedure that you just demonstrated, I think, was not in the documentation that you originally received. Is that correct?
That's correct. We did not have any documentation supporting the ability to do a print test. And we are targeting, through the work with the Office of Cybersecurity, security incidents that change vote totals. And if you don't trust the electronic software, then you want to rely on the VPAT paper. But if something happens and you don't have all of your VPAT records, then you're kind of at a loss. So this procedure to make sure when a paper roll is changed out that the test is conducted to make sure the printer is going to capture those vote totals correctly allows you, if there's any question about electronics, that you have this full paper record for the election.
Okay. Good, thanks. Mr. Greenbaum, a really quick question if you want to come to the podium
That's good.
Just looking at the small print there, it was my understanding that it should be a paper receipt that the voter themselves can read, and it's torn off and placed in a ballot box for recount if you need to recount. Is that correct?
I don't think that is correct. I think this is on a roll. The voter cannot take it, but it'll be preserved on the roll, I believe.
That's correct.
Well, that's a problem with making this thing accountable, because whoever takes care of this machine at night, it's got that paper roll, and chances are your judges are going to have problems replacing that, watching the gentleman who's supposed to be part of this. You're supposed to be all experts here. And he was having problems himself putting that roll in. I can imagine what an untrained person would have putting in that roll of paper in. And it seems to me that the voter should have the paper receipt in his hand, put it in a box. That way it's protected. If that stays in that machine, at the end of the day, whoever manipulates with that machine can toss it in, put a different one in or something. That is not a good system.
Okay. Mr. Garner, was there anything else then as far as the additional testing or demonstration that you wanted to cover?
No, we have posted on the website an update to the project overview binder that was released on Friday, as well as the major deficiencies report.
Okay, thank you. I guess I've got a few people signed up, but maybe Ed Smith, are you here from Sequoia? Do you want to testify? Or okay.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Ed Smith. I'm Vice President of Compliance, Quality, and Certification, Sequoia Voting Systems, Denver, Colorado. First, I'd like to thank you, Mr. Secretary, your staff, and the test board for the opportunity to come before you and make comment today. I'd also like to thank you for organizing this opportunity for us and for other interested parties to come out and talk about the certification system here in the state of Colorado. As you probably know, Sequoia's equipment is used by both the City and County of Denver and the counties of Pueblo, Elbert, and Arapaho. And so we cover a pretty significant portion of the registered voters of the state, and we take that responsibility very seriously. We have, as a result of that responsibility, been pleased to cooperate from the very beginning to today with the certification process, the new certification process that was put into place this past year. From submittal of our application back in March, the functional testing and reporting from the test board, the submittal of our request for reconsideration after the initial decisions back on December 17th, the submittal of our redacted documents, and to today's proceedings. We appreciate that after that initial testing, the test board saw fit to allow me to come by and, as Mr. Gardner mentioned earlier, to make demonstration of the printer test and modify our documentation such as to match the availability of that test and make it very clear and not scattered about the documentation that capability exists. We are likewise pleased that demonstration was helpful to your office and was positively received. One other note on that, straying from my prepared remarks for a second, our county customers do not allow their judges to change the paper during the course of an election. The paradigm around the VPAT with our customer base here in Colorado and in many parts of the country is that is a ballot box. It is secured. The paper records for each individual voter are digitally signed and barcoded and such that the paper rolls cannot be substituted, tampered with, or otherwise, such that it would modify the course of the election. You'll see these sorts of things required, particularly in the 2005 and the draft 2007 voting system standards. All these systems are certified to 2002 standards. We did put those into place in the system. This has been verified during other states' certification efforts, particularly that in New Jersey. To move forward a little bit, we have put in an application for our system 4.0, the system that you see in front of you and that was tested by the test board is a 3.1 version, our most recent 3.1 version, 4.0 being a successor generation to that. And in that successor generation, we have factored in, Mr. Secretary, your security model that essentially anyone who comes in contact with the voting system is untrusted and could potentially be a malicious actor and wish to somehow influence the course and perhaps the outcome of an election. And we have factored that into the threat model in our system 4.0. And when we take that in front of the test board, they will see significant architectural changes, such as the implementation of a more recent version of Microsoft SQL Server, that will prevent, whether it's insiders, outsiders, anyone who comes in contact with the election equipment from making changes to that equipment or anything that could possibly attack the election. And you will see that system once we get it through EAC process, which of course is taking quite a while, but we do anticipate being out of there in the next few months. In closing, we hope that the Secretary and the test board, his staff, will look favorably on the voting system under test, and that you will choose to certify, recertify the components that we have brought before the test board. We also hope that at some point we can meet with you, as I think Mr. Hobbs mentioned earlier, regarding the conditions and restrictions on the system and how we can all work together and continue to work together to best ensure the security of the elections. We believe that, once again, we've brought to Colorado a good and solid voting system, one that the voters can trust. And once again, we thank you, Mr. Secretary, your staff, the test board, and the other folks here today at this hearing for their time, their expertise, and their attention to voting system certification.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Smith. Nancy Doty.
Good afternoon. I'm Nancy Doty, Arapahoe County Clerk and Recorder. First of all, I'd like to thank Secretary Kaufman for providing this forum for us to speak about this very important issue. I strongly urge the Colorado Department of State to certify Sequoia's voting system's Edge 2 voting machine. According to the Colorado Department of State's report for the Sequoia voting systems dated February 15, 2008, the major deficiencies previously identified that led to the decertification of the Edge 2 have been mitigated by additional testing and additional information received. This fact alone should make certification for these voting machines a certainty. I'd also like to mention the demonstration that you showed today, having someone change out the paper roll. Our judges do not do that. It's done by trained staff only. And I believe that's the same for all the other three counties as well. So it's trained staff that does it. We've never had a problem with paper jamming. Arapahoe County has used the Edge 2 voting machines in three elections with great success. These voting machines have functioned properly, counted votes accurately, and equally as important, the voters in Arapahoe County are very confident using them. I know this because during the 2006 general election, we asked our voters to fill out a form, a survey, regarding their thoughts about the Edge 2. The vast majority of voters replied that they liked voting on these machines and had complete confidence in them. Furthermore, if these voting machines are not certified, Arapahoe County would be forced to spend approximately $3.5 million to purchase HAVA compliant voting machines from another vendor in order to meet the requirements. This simply does not make sense. We have absolute confidence that the Edge 2 voting machine is reliable, accurate, and secure. Also, Sequoia has been a valuable partner to Arapahoe County in conducting elections for over 20 years. Continuing this relationship is in the best interest of Arapahoe County voters and taxpayers, who would have to foot the bill. Finally, I would like to renew our request to meet with the Colorado Department of State to discuss the conditions placed on the certified voting equipment. In closing, the Edge 2 voting machine should be certified for use in the 2008 elections. They are reliable, secure, and accurate. The voters of Arapahoe County have complete confidence in these machines. Thank you.
Ms. Doty, could I ask one question? I'm just a little unclear on. So in the polling place, does it happen and how is it handled if the machine runs out of paper? I assume it does happen or could happen?
It could happen. We purchase additional VPAT containers, and so we have one of the staff go out there and change it out at the site.
Does that mean when you say the VPAT containers, the canister?
The whole canister, right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All righty. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Claudia Coons.
Hello, I'm Claudia Coons. I'm the Executive Director of the Public Integrity Project, and I'm here to talk about the Sequoia voting systems. I have to say that while I was watching that system being manipulated and folded up, I'm really quite astonished at how flimsy it is. One of the things that concerns me is that all of the major deficiencies were not addressed or remedied by the testing board or by Sequoia, and the one that that is a concern is the requirement to operate in a secured state requiring passwords. That was totally not addressed, and that was listed as one of the major deficiencies. Because we have not been permitted to see the testing that was done, we have no idea how the major deficiencies were determined. We have no idea whether or not these are really major deficiencies or whether there may have been more, because during the testing process, there were in excess of 1,100 documents that were required by the Secretary of State's office that Sequoia did not present. Many of those documents had to do with allowing the testing board to actually test for very important security items, so those items were never even tested. So when people come up here and talk about the fact that the system is secure, I take great issue with that because, in fact, it was not tested at all. The other thing that is also alarming in this is if you look at the detailed results summary that is actually from the overview that the testing board presented, it shows that the overall functional test pass percentage was 67.8%. Now, on election day, I don't think I would want to walk into a precinct where I knew that was the what I could expect in terms of reliability of some machine that I might want to vote on. And by the way, I will never vote on one of those machines, knowing what I know about them. The trusted build pass rate was only 60%. That's horrible. 60% is not even a passing grade in junior high school. Why should we allow that to be the same kind of be a passing grade for anything having to do with our voting system, particularly the security aspect of it? Vendor reliability. Based on the documents and also other of the testing board and also other documents from the Secretary of State's office, Sequoia does not seem to be a particularly reliable vendor. There is email that was dated January the 15th, which was 5 days after Sequoia was supposed to have submitted their redaction list. They were still working on it. Obviously, Sequoia does not think it's important to comply with the requirements of Colorado Secretary of State's office. And why should we pay our taxpayer money for a company that blatantly disregards the proper procedures within the state of Colorado? One of the things that I'm also concerned about is the procedures that were not followed properly by the Secretary of State's office. There was testing that was being done very shortly after December the 17th, prior to the signing of House Bill 1155. I consider that to be highly problematic because the Secretary of State's office was operating outside his statutory authority by continuing to do this retesting, in addition to which House Bill 1155 has provisions in there for the public to observe some of this testing that was to have happened, and because it was done prior to that time, that transparency that was supposed to have been available to the citizens of Colorado was denied. And I would like to close because I know there's a lot to cover here, and I don't want to belabor the point, but one of the things that I found to be terribly concerning was that the testing board sought to distance itself from the process, saying that this overview was not done independently. And so I'm curious as to who else was involved in writing that report. Was it the vendor? Was it the Attorney General's office? Who was involved? We don't know. And if it wasn't done independently by the testing board, I think that's a huge problem. Now, the testing board did make a comment on the last page of this overview, and I don't usually like to read things, but I'm going to read this one in total because it's short and because I think it's very, very telling about what we're looking at here. It says, these conditional procedures rely heavily upon proper execution of county administrators and or election judges. While we have faith, I am not interested in participating in election on faith. I think faith is something that does not belong in our election systems. That these dedicated workers will attempt to perform their duties to the best of their abilities. A majority of the conditions involve a human element which may or may not produce the acceptable outcome. This single factor alone causes concern that a security issue may not be resolvable in a post-election scenario. I think that is highly troubling. And I think that we cannot trust these systems. We have to verify everything, and we have to have vendors that are willing to submit the proper documentation so that the proper testing can be done. And I think that we have to have a Secretary of State's office who absolutely stands up for the citizens of Colorado and demands that that kind of compliance happen with the vendors. Otherwise, they have no business taking taxpayer money in the state of Colorado. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for your written materials also. Is there anybody else who wishes to comment on Sequoia? I don't think I have anybody else signed up to testify. Anybody else on Sequoia? If not, I think let's take a 10-minute break. Let's come back at 3 o'clock. Okay.
Rich.
Do you know how to...